This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The proven benefits of emotional control in conflict, better outcomes, stronger trust, and faster resolution. Why keeping your emotions in check changes everything about how conflict ends. In short, emotional control in conflict is not about staying quiet or giving ground. It is the discipline of keeping yourself regulated enough to think, speak clearly, and respond to what is actually happening rather than to your first reaction. When you stay regulated, the other person stops defending and starts listening. Composure under pressure builds more trust than any single resolution ever will. Faster outcomes follow naturally when the conversation is not also managing emotional fallout. Definition: emotional control in conflict is the ability to manage your internal emotional state deliberately during disagreement so that your responses remain clear, considered, and proportionate. It does not mean suppressing feeling. It means keeping arousal low enough that rational thinking stays available. Here is something I have noticed across 60 years of watching people argue, negotiate, fall out, and find their way back to each other. The people who resolve conflict fastest are not the most persuasive. They are not the most articulate. They are the ones who stay calm when everything in them wants to do otherwise. That is emotional control in conflict, and its benefits reach further than most people expect. Most of us understand the idea at a surface level. Keep your cool. Do not shout. Take a breath. Good advice, as far as it goes. But understanding why composure produces better outcomes, not just more civil ones, is a different matter entirely. And that understanding changes how seriously you work on the skill. What emotional regulation actually does to a conflict. When you lose your emotional footing in a disagreement, something practical happens: the other person shifts their attention from the problem to you. They are no longer thinking about whether you have a point. They are thinking about how to protect themselves from your reaction. The conversation fractures. What you say matters. How you say it matters enormously. But the emotional state you're in when you say it governs how every word lands. A completely reasonable point, delivered with visible anger or contempt, registers as an attack. The other person responds to the attack, not the point. And now you are managing two problems instead of one. The amygdala hijack is the physiological culprit here. When your threat response fires, it does not distinguish between a physical danger and a colleague who just said something that felt dismissive. It floods your system regardless, and your capacity for careful, proportionate thinking drops sharply. The result is that the version of you that shows up in a high-pressure moment is often a less capable communicator than the version that walked into the room. Emotional regulation does not eliminate that response. It shortens it. It builds the gap between stimulus and reply. And in that gap, the outcome of the conflict is often decided. How composure builds trust faster than agreement does. I want to be direct about something that took me years to see clearly. The resolution of a specific conflict matters less to a relationship than how you behaved during it. People forget the details of disagreements. They do not forget how you made them feel when things were hard. When you stay composed under genuine pressure, you send a signal that is more powerful than anything you could say explicitly. You signal that this person and this conversation is worth your full attention and restraint. That earns something. It earns the other person's willingness to come back to you the next time there is friction, instead of quietly avoiding it. This is the foundation of psychological safety in any working relationship. The opposite is equally true and worth sitting with. When someone loses control of their reaction during a disagreement, the other person does not just remember the conflict. They remember the loss of control specifically. They file it. Every future interaction carries a quiet question: will this person hold it together this time? Trust, once eroded this way, takes far longer to rebuild than the original conflict would have taken to resolve. The practical consequence is this. If you want people to trust you over time, across multiple conflicts and difficult conversations, your consistency under pressure matters more than any single resolution you produce. What it looks like when it works, and when it does not. Let me give you two versions of the same moment. A project lead discovers, 2 days before a client deadline, that a team member has missed a critical step. Version 1, the project lead responds immediately, voice tight, words sharp. The team member shuts down, becomes defensive, and starts managing their own fear rather than solving the problem. The conversation becomes about the relationship, not the deadline. Version 2, the same project lead takes a deliberate breath, lowers their voice, and opens with the actual problem rather than their frustration with it. The team member stays present. They focus on what can still be fixed. The deadline is tight, but the problem gets solved rather than compounded. You can see this kind of dynamic play out anywhere people work closely together, and de-escalating team conflict consistently starts with one person choosing regulation over relaxation. The version that works is not the version where nothing is felt. The project lead in version 2 is not calm, because the situation does not bother them. They are regulated because they have practiced being regulated, and they know what is at stake when they are not. Why the skill goes underdeveloped in most people. The reason most people stay at surface level with emotional regulation is that the moments that require it are the exact moments it is hardest to apply. When you most need to pause, your body is already moving toward a response. When you most need to lower your voice, something in you wants to raise it. There is also a quieter reason. Many people confuse emotional control with weakness. They believe that showing the reaction signals strength, that restraint looks like surrender. In 40 years of sitting across from people in conflict, I have never once seen that be true. Restraint is not passivity, it is precision, and it consistently produces better outcomes than an unfiltered reaction does. The third reason is habit. Most people have never built a clear, practiced system for noticing their escalation before it peaks. They manage it after the fact, in the form of apologies and repair conversations. Those repairs are valuable, but they cost more than the original regulation would have. Emotional intelligence in feedback conversations follows the same principle: prevention through awareness beats recovery through apology. Every time, understanding what drives conflict beneath the surface, including the unmet need to fuel ongoing friction, makes regulation more achievable because you stop being surprised by the intensity of a reaction. You start to see it coming. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imanblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. The practical consequences of getting this right. The benefits of emotional control in conflict are not soft or abstract. They are specific, measurable, and repeatable. Here is what changes when you do this well. Conversations stay on the actual problem. When neither party is managing the other's emotional state, the conversation moves toward solution faster. There is less circling, less rehashing, less damage to undo. You earn the right to direct communication. When people know you will not react explosively, they are more willing to tell you the truth early. Problems get surfaced while they're still small. Agreements actually hold. Resolutions reached in a heightened emotional state are often fragile. The agreement was made to end the discomfort, not to solve the problem. Emotionally regulated conversations produce sturdier outcomes because both parties were thinking clearly when they agreed. The deal method for resolving conflict depends on exactly this kind of clarity being present before any resolution is reached. Your reputation for reliability grows. Over time, people who consistently regulate under pressure are the ones others go to first. Not because they are conflict-averse, but because they make conflict productive. The connection between emotional regulation and emotional intelligence in team contexts runs deep. A team where individuals consistently regulate themselves in high-pressure moments builds a collective capacity for handling difficulty that compounds over time. The investment you make before the conflict starts. None of this happens automatically in the moment. The ability to stay regulated during a genuine confrontation is built before the confrontation arrives. It is practiced in lower-stakes situations first. That practice means paying attention to your own early warning signals: the tightening in your chest, the rise in your voice, the urge to interrupt. These are not weaknesses to be embarrassed by. They are information. When you learn to read them early, you can act on them early, long before they peak, and drive the conversation somewhere you will regret. It also means preparing the scripts you will use before tension rises. Phrases that de-escalate without conceding ground. Responses that name the problem without attacking the person. This is craft, not improvisation. The people I have watched handle conflict with the most consistent results are not winging it under pressure. They have thought through how they will respond when things get hard. They show up prepared. The central insight this article rests on is worth restating plainly. Emotional control in conflict is not about managing your feelings for the other person's comfort. It is about keeping yourself clear enough to pursue what you actually came for, a real resolution, a held agreement, and a relationship that survives the friction intact. That is what the discipline is for, and that is what it delivers when you commit to it seriously. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional control in conflict? Emotional control in conflict is the ability to stay regulated enough to think clearly and respond deliberately when tension rises. It does not mean suppressing your feelings. It means keeping your emotional state from taking over the conversation before you have had a chance to be heard. Why does emotional control lead to faster conflict resolution? When you stay regulated, the other person does not need to defend against your reaction. The conversation stays focused on the actual problem. That directness cuts the time it takes to reach a real agreement, because you're not also managing fallout from how things were said. How do you practice emotional control during a difficult conversation? The most reliable method is to slow your physical response first. A deliberate breath, a pause before responding, a lower tone of voice. These are not just calming techniques. They change the quality of what you say next by giving your thinking mind a chance to catch up with your reaction. What happens to trust when emotional control breaks down in conflict? Trust erodes fastest not through disagreement, but through how people behave during disagreement. When someone loses control of their reaction, the other person remembers it. Rebuilding that trust takes far longer than the conflict itself would have. Is emotional control the same as avoiding conflict? No. Emotional control means engaging with conflict more directly and effectively, not less. Avoidance is the opposite of control. When you regulate your emotions, you can name the real issue, hold your ground, and stay in the conversation long enough to resolve it. Can emotional control be learned, or is it a personality trait? It can absolutely be learned. It is a skill, not a fixed trait. Like any skill, it requires consistent practice and honest self-awareness. The people I have watched improve most dramatically were not naturally calm. They were simply committed to getting better at catching themselves before they reacted. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.